It's also from another passage in the Gospel of John. It's chapter 6, verses 15 to 21. And I'm reading from the Message, Peterson's version of the Message. The people realized, and this follows after Jesus has fed 5,000 with a few loaves of bread and fish. The people realized that God was at work among them in what Jesus had just done. They said, "This is the prophet for sure. God's prophet right here in Galilee." Jesus saw that in their enthusiasm, they were about to grab him and make him king. So he slipped off and went back up to the mountain to be by himself. Now in the evening, his disciples went down to the sea and got in the boat and headed back across the water to Capernaum. It had grown quite dark and Jesus had not yet returned, and a huge wind blew up, churning the sea. They were maybe 3 or 4 miles out when they saw Jesus walking on the sea, quite near the boat. They were scared, senseless, but he reassured them. "It's me. It's all right. Don't be afraid." So they took him on board, and in no time they reached land, the exact spot that they were headed to. Time. The time is a struggle for us. And you can sense it at times. I mean, you can sense when you're feeling time is crushing you, time is pushing against you, time is taking you out of your own game. You know, you can feel it. William Penn, who founded this great state of Pennsylvania, said that time is what we want most, but what we use worst. And we struggle so much with dealing with time. I want to lay out briefly for you four different misunderstandings about time. Four things that we tend to think of with time that are not quite accurate. First thing that we get that's a misunderstanding is we think time is identical, that all time is identical, that everybody has the same exact amount of time. And the reality that we live in is that time is not the same. Time is actually relative. Witness your child who wants to do something and says, "Can we do it?" And you say, "Just wait, we have to wait 5 minutes." Now, 5 minutes for your kid will feel like a year. But for you, it feels like it goes by in about 10 seconds. It's relative. Time is relative to us. It's relative to how we feel. When we were these young guys' age and we had a birthday and we turned 9 and now we were waiting to turn double digits because we thought that would be so impressive to be 10, that 9 to 10 was like the longest year of your life. It seemed like it never would get there. But when you're 49 going on 50, it goes but like that. It's like, "What do you mean? I just celebrated my birthday like last month. How did it come by already?" Time is relative. It goes by differently for different people. When you're grieving, time goes by slowly. Every minute seems like forever as you're grieving the loss of a loved one. But when you're happy, when you're doing something you enjoy, time goes by so fast you can't believe it's over. Time changes. So, yes, it might be identical, but it's not experienced that way. Time is relative. The second misunderstanding we have about time is that time is something you find. I mean, we say it all the time. I have to find the time. It's as if we're out there looking for it, like, you know, where'd that time go? Are you there? Where are you? You know, we're always thinking time is something to find, and we look for it everywhere. And people say to you something, and you're like, "Oh, you know, I didn't find the time to get it done. I just couldn't find the time," as if it's out there to discover it. I used to say, I said that once to my senseis when I was doing martial arts. I was in a class one day, and they had told us to try something and work on it for the next class. And I was showing them what I did, and it was terrible. I did a lousy kata, whatever it might have been. And they said, did you practice at all this week? And I said, you know, I just couldn't find the time. And he got in my face, Sensei Fretz, and he said, you don't find the time, you make the time. See, reality is time is not something we can find. Time is something we have to create. Time is something we have to make ourselves. If something is important to us, we must make the time for it. We have to create time for it. As we saw with Jesus, time was important to Jesus, but he saw it in a different way than you and I do. We go by clocks, but he went by light. And we'll get into that in just a few moments. Third thing that time, that we misunderstand about time is we think time is repeatable. That every time something happens, it'll come around again. It'll come around again. As if, you know, because 1 o'clock in the afternoon comes around every day, we didn't do it now. We'll just wait till the next time around, like it's an amusement ride. But time is not repeatable. Time is opportunistic. Things come and go, and sometimes they never return. And it's the only opportunity we have. And if we miss it, we miss it. See, with God, time is something that is an opportunity that presents itself now for you to do something with. And if you fail to do it, you may not get another chance. So you have to learn how to live more into the moment, to see things for what they are, and to grab hold at the time that happens. It was, it was Wynn Borden who said this. He said, if you wait to do everything until you are sure it's right, you'll probably never do much of anything. See, God's a kind of gambler with humanity. God likes to take chances. I mean, he made us, didn't he? Took a chance, threw the dice, and said, let's see what these people will do. And he took a chance that we would do right and good and we would never make mistakes, but we do. And then he thought to himself, I think, he said, you know, those mistakes aren't so bad after all. Look how they learn when they mess up. Look how they grow. So God gambles a little bit with us. He gambles on what we might be able to do or not do, how we might act or react or respond to things. And so he gives us chances, and we fall down. We mess up. And then we get back up again. We have opportunities that present themselves, and we take chances on those opportunities. When they come around, it's something we can do, and we say, you know, now's the time to strike. Now's the time to do something with that. Let's give it a chance. And if we wait till everything's right, you know, that's not what the church is in the business of doing. Mouth gets so dry. The church can't be in the position of always waiting for all conditions to be right. Because then we're not following faith, we're not following God, we're following the world's ways of doing things, making sure everything matches up. So if we did that, this church would never have been built. And I'm not talking about just this building, I'm talking about the United Methodist Church that started in Quakertown on the other side of the highway over there. I'm talking about churches in general. If we waited for the conditions to all be perfect the way we imagine them to be or expect things to be, nothing would ever get done in faith. But we take steps of faith. We trust that God is going to provide the resources. We trust that God is going to provide the way and the path, and we take the opportunity when it comes. So time is not something that has to be, everything falls into place. Time is often an opportunity, and we give it a shot. And if it works, great. And if it doesn't, well, we learn something, and we try something else. As I was often quoted by others, we would say it in my ministry over the years, the only thing, you know, anything we can try, it's fine. It's not written in stone. The only thing written in stone is the Ten Commandments, and people break them anyway. But God still forgives and gives us another chance. And the fourth thing, this is the interesting one. You know, time, we have this idea that time is something that has to be constantly productive. You know, you have to be making something, creating something for it to always be worthwhile, that it's not worthy if we're doing nothing. But that's not the case. Time is valuable even if you're doing nothing. Jesus saw that they were going to force him to be a king. And where did he go? What did he do? What?
He went up to the mountain.
He slipped off, went up the mountain to be by himself. It doesn't say to pray. It says to be by himself. To have some Jesus time. Whether he prayed or not, we're not told in John. It's just that he needed to be by himself at that point. He needed some time to kind of just unwind. I mean, he'd fed 5,000 people. He'd been doing all this all day long. He'd been healing people, and they were getting excited. And then in their enthusiasm, they were like, this guy can do it all. Let's make him king. And he knew that wasn't the path that he needed to be on. He knew something felt wrong about that. He got away, took off to do nothing, to sit up in the mountains and do nothing for a little while. Maybe just listen to God. Maybe listen to the singing of the birds and nature itself just in praise. It's okay once in a while to do nothing. I shared earlier that there was a pastor I heard of recently who was so busy, wouldn't take a day off. And people started to worry about that. And somebody said to him, you know, you never take a day off. You should take at least a day off. And he said, you know what? Satan never takes a day off, so neither will I. And his friend replied, I think you need to find somebody else to emulate. God takes a day off. God creates and then says, let's take a day off and enjoy it. Let's rest. God commands us to take a day off. A day to just be without anything to do, to just recharge and let our body, our souls catch up with our bodies. Maybe we should emulate God instead of his enemy. That's what we're called to do. We have to recognize that time itself, there are times for nothing to be done. Times to relax. Not to make it a habit every day where you stop doing anything at all. But time to recharge. So how can we make better use of our time? I'll give you an illustration. The former CEO of Coca-Cola, Brian Dyson, he talked about it like this. He would tell people, this is how he imagines that life is like a game where you're juggling. And there are five balls that you're juggling in the air. And if I had been a juggler, I would have done this for you. But I can't juggle. Two balls is as much as I can do. I've never done even three. But imagine that life is like a game in which we're juggling five balls. And each ball represents something important in our life. One ball represents our work. And we're tossing that up and keeping that going. And one ball represents our family. And another ball is representing our friends. And another ball represents our spiritual nature, our spirit. And the fifth ball represents our health. And so we're juggling all these balls. Now, the ball that we call work, that's a rubber ball. And if we drop it, it bounces. So it's not a problem. You know, we can bounce back from work. There's always work we can do. But the other four balls, they're made of glass. And if we drop them, they don't bounce. They crack. Sometimes they shatter. And we don't want to drop those. Your family, your health, your friends, your spirit, they're much, much more difficult to restore. But we often focus so much on our work, thinking that's the most important part of who we are. And yet that ball can take a lot more. That can be dropped. People have lost that ball. They've even lost it. And somehow they come back. So we need to remember that the most important things when it comes to life, Jesus says, at the points we saw him at. He looked at time as opportunistic and as something that was relative and it was important at the moment. And so when he saw this man born blind and his disciples saw him and they said, oh, there's a man born blind. Who sinned? Did he do it or his parents? Because he's born blind. Jesus said to them, you're asking the wrong question. As he's put in the message, you're asking the wrong question. That's not the question we should be asking. That's what we'll find out next week is really like a distraction. Get caught up looking in the wrong area. He's saying the real question is, what can God do to make this a great moment? How can God use us in this moment to change things? This is an opportunity. So maybe you're going through something or you discover something in your life that is like the blind man, something that's out of control, out of the way you want it, or something that seems bad and you're saying, oh, I can't take this anymore. Why did this happen to me? What's causing it? And God might be saying, stop asking that question. Stop asking why, because it doesn't matter why. What matters now is, what are you going to do about it? What can happen? How can you use me? Just like the disciples seeing Jesus coming across the water and they freak out. Oh no, it's a ghost, it's something. What is that? Notice that when Jesus said to them, don't be afraid, and they invited him in the boat. When he got in the boat, it was almost, as Mark would say, immediately they arrived where they wanted to be. Maybe we're not getting where we want to be. Maybe we're wasting a lot of time because we're not using it right. We're too busy trying to fix it on our own, trying to do all the work ourselves, and we're forgetting to invite Jesus to come on the boat, to get in with us, to guide us, to lead. Time can be an obstacle to the abundant life when we mislabel it, when we get it misunderstood. And we start to follow a different understanding of time that doesn't fit with what God does with time. For God, time is, as long as the sun is shining, we do the works of God. And he didn't just mean the sun in the sky. He meant as long as he is here in the world, as long as he is in your heart, abiding with you, living, dwelling in your spirit, we do the works of God. And every time, every moment is the time. Would you pray with me? Gracious God, we give you thanks for time. Sometimes time is our enemy. It feels like we're fighting against it, trying to keep up with it. We've created such a way to monitor and measure time that we've gotten ourselves so wound up in time, pun not intended, Lord, that we are caught up in this time of that slaves us, enslaves us to be something we can't be. Help us to recognize time as you see it. Time that gives us opportunity, as well as time to rest, time to live, time to grow, time to change, time to speak up or time to be silent, whatever it might be, Lord, give us the time we need. So we put our faith in you. We pray that as this day goes forward, as this day travels through and we walk through it, help us to be aware and conscious of the moment so that we're not so busy looking ahead that we miss this moment. We're so trapped in what happened previously that we can't be here now. Thank you, Lord, for helping us put time in its right place. We pray in Jesus' name. And God's people say,